What generation are you? Gen Z? Millennial? Gen X? Baby boomer? If you answered boomer, congratulations. Your cohort has had an outsized influence on American culture and politics over the last half century or so. And as that boomer generation born between the mid-1940s and mid-1960s ages and eventually fades from the scene, society will change drastically. What this means for all of us is explained in the new book by Philip Bump called The Aftermath, The Last Days of the Baby Boom and the Future of Power in America. Philip is a columnist for The Washington Post, famous for his ability to draw compelling stories from facts and figures. And here he is to distill a vast amount of demographic data into five big ideas.
Hello, I'm Philip Bump, national columnist at The Washington Post and author of the book The Aftermath, The Last Days of the Baby Boom and the Future of Power in America. In my day job, I focus largely on the news of the day. But in the book, I explore how the decline of the baby boom as a cultural and political force will reshape the country over the decades to come. So today, I'm going to share five central insights from the book. First, that the baby boom was enormous, and probably more enormous than you may realize. Second, that the divide between boomers and younger generations, millennials, Generation Z, runs far deeper than simply age. Third, that America may become a majority-minority nation soon, or perhaps it already is. Fourth, that baby boomers are already shedding trillions of dollars of assets, but it's not clear who will benefit the most over the long term. And fifth, that the state that best matches America's projected demography in 2060? It's Florida, for all that implies about future politics. So let's walk through those. Insight number one, the baby boom was more enormous than you may realize. I mean, obviously the baby boom was big, but in part because it has shaped modern America, it's easy to misunderstand just how precedent-breaking the generation size actually was. For the U.S. to see population growth equal to the surge that began in the mid-1940s, for example, the number of births in the country at this point would need to nearly triple. The year before the boom began, the population of the United States was about 140 million. Over the next 19 years, though, 76 million babies were born, more than half the total number of Americans before the boom began. The effect was to create this massive new economy that traveled along with the boomers. All of a sudden, you've got this massive glut of babies. So businesses that sold diapers or bronzed shoes suddenly saw an economic boom. Next, there was a crush to build schools to accommodate all of those kids. Los Angeles County, for example, was averaging one new elementary, middle, or high school every month over the duration of the boom. Los Angeles County, for example, constructed an average of one new elementary, middle, or high school every single month over the duration of the baby boom. And then that glut of kids became a glut of teenagers, who became a glut of consumers, who became voters and workers, and those things shifted too. The country warped to accommodate them. Eventually, this population got used to being the focus of dominance and attention, to hold much of America's power in its hands, until recently. Insight number two. The divide between boomers and millennials runs a lot deeper than just age. Look, there's an element of the generational tension Americans are seeing today that's very familiar. Older people are frustrated at what younger people are doing. It is truly a pattern that's likely as old as humanity itself. But there are other differences between the boomers and younger generations that contribute to the tension we now see. First and foremost, the baby boom generation is much more densely white than younger Americans. The boom emerged at a time when American immigration was legally constrained. When the boom began, the typical immigrant living in the United States was someone's grandparent who'd immigrated years before from Europe. Shortly after the boom, however, immigration was loosened, contributing to the increase in Asian and Hispanic American residents of this country. Over time, of course, they had children. And their children grew up in an America that was much more diverse than the baby boom had emerged in. Younger Americans are also better educated and less religious than older ones, contributing to both cultural and political differences between those two generations. Younger Americans are also better educated and less religious than older ones, contributing to both cultural and political differences between those two groups. In fact, younger Americans today are largely continuing a trend started by the baby boom, away from institutions, toward more individualism. But they have moved much farther along than the boomers themselves did, which contributes to the tension. Then there's something else to consider too, technology. When the boomers were teenagers, they were a focus of outsized attention. But individually, their ability to redirect the country's attention was contingent upon gatekeepers in the media or other industries. You couldn't simply record a song in your garage and have it become a hit overnight. You had to go through a record label. Now, though, as one PR person told Harper's a few years ago, quote, you can be in Cleveland, Ohio, alone in your bedroom, and you can get a million followers overnight, end quote. That's true. Young people can make themselves heard and present in ways that older Americans couldn't. The difference in power that defines traditional generational disputes has been upended. As much as boomers might like to ignore the millennial generation, they often can't. And what they see when they look at millennials is an America that looks very different than the America they grew up in, often literally. Insight number 3. America may become majority-minority soon, or perhaps it already is. For years, demographers have plotted the point at which white Americans will drop below 50% of the population. But our common understanding of America's demographic evolution is overly simplistic, as are the perceptions about that evolution that undergird a lot of our political divide. So, the Census Bureau projects non-white Americans will be a majority within the next 2 decades. Those projections, though, depend on assumptions about how people identify their own race that may not hold up over time, as research has shown. Will the children of Hispanic Americans also identify as Hispanic? Or might they identify, as an increasing number of Americans do, as mixed race? Or will they identify as white? Recognizing the complexity of racial identity, the Census Bureau has expanded the way in which it allows people to record their racial and ethnic backgrounds. That's contributed to the reduction of the number of Americans who solely identify as white, or in keeping with government standards, white and also non-Hispanic. We're already well into a transition to a less rigidly divided racial delineation in this country, one that reduces the importance of that majority-minority transition. In fact, what we've seen as the Census Bureau changed its categorizations between 2010 and 2020 is that many Americans already consider themselves to be multiracial, at least in some sense. Recall, this goes back to the prior point. Recall that the baby boom arrived at a time when immigration was at an historic low, and when not white essentially meant black. America does look different than it did when baby boomers were young, and that alone has an obvious effect. Insight number 4. Baby boomers are already shedding trillions of dollars of assets each year, but it's really not clear who will benefit the most over the long term. Yes, it's true. Baby boomers are much wealthier as a generation than other generational groups. But there's an important and obvious caveat. There are also far more of them. The scale of the boom and America's wide wealth inequality means that most boomers aren't particularly wealthy at all. Now that said, as boomers get older, retire, and begin to die, they will increasingly transfer their wealth to others. Some will be bequeathments upon their deaths. Some will be spending on younger family members and friends, paying for houses or college, for example. One financial firm estimates that boomers are already passing along about $2 trillion annually as of last year. But how much more they will pass on to family or to organizations depends on a fairly macabre question: how long they live and how healthy they remain. That Americans live longer today than they did a century ago is good news, certainly. But it also means there are more years that boomers can spend down that wealth, or in more dire circumstances, might have to spend their wealth on things like expensive healthcare or specialized housing. It's not clear, then, how much wealth will actually be transferred out of the baby boom to younger generations. One thing economics experts assured me of, however, the families of the wealthy will land on their feet. After all, they've often been the focus of interfamily spending for most of their lives. Insight number 5. The state that best matches America's projected 2060 demography? It's Florida. Now, in the abstract, this seems like nothing more than a bit of trivia. If we compare the Census Bureau's demographic projections for 2060 to America today, the state that most closely mirrors the age and racial composition of the U.S. in 40 years is the Sunshine State. But then consider what that means. For all of the discussion about how America's changing demography will advantage Democrats, Florida is already heavily diverse and regularly votes Republican. One political consultant I spoke with marveled at the fact that the state continuously defied expectations that its demography meant it would shift to the political left. He, of course, cautioned against looking too far into the future, which is certainly fair. But that younger Americans are so much more heavily Democratic, and consistently so, will mean that they'd have to shift to the right dramatically as they get older. Now, conventional wisdom suggests that this is the expected pattern, that younger people become more conservative as they age. But that wisdom itself, like much social science research, is not terribly old. It's also built around a younger generation of Americans that's far less diverse than young Americans are today. Again, we come back to this point. Youth and race are inextricable, and the effects of one intertwine with the effects of the other. So, as with the shift of economic power, the shift in political power that follows the baby boom is hard to predict. It will depend to a significant extent on the decisions we make, the policies we implement today. What my book explores is a number of the ways that that might unfold. I hope you'll consider picking up a copy for yourself. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Philip. That was Philip Bump with five big ideas from The Aftermath, The Last Days of the Baby Boom, and The Future of Power in America. For more ideas, check out our book bite for The Super Age, Decoding Our Demographic Destiny by Bradley Sherman. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.